The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a top six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Looks like Bradley Chubb will be good to play, that's for sure. No offense, no problem at all. What do you expect to see out of Bradley Chubb on Sunday after battling with this other ankle injury?
Well, that's a tough question, D-Mac, because I don't know how banged up he is, but I know this. If his ankle's okay, Bradley Chubb has looked as good as he ever has during training camp, and he was very limited. I mean, he wasn't out there very often, but the reps that he had, I'm telling you, he was terrorizing Garrett Bowles. Like, it was domination. The dude was getting me flat out excited for the season. So my hope, my prayer for Bradley Chubb is that dude can be healthy, he can stay healthy, and that he could have a breakout season similar to his rookie year. That's what he should do as long as he can stay healthy.
Bring it.
All right, D-Mac, I know you've become a fan of Cam Newton of late, and it's been an interesting run for Cam. He got released by the Patriots, and he had previewed that today he was going to have his Funky Friday where he's going to set the record straight on some stuff. Sat down with his dad at his old high school field. It was a good watch. I'm curious your takeaways from it, though.
The reason why they released me is because indirectly, I was going to be a distraction.
I thought essentially it was honest. I'm a softy when it comes to, you know, father-son relationship stuff. And I think if you really did spend the time to watch a good chunk of it, you can see that there's a significant amount of love between father and son. And I think that's always a positive. So my take on it is probably different than people that just don't like Cam Newton or think he's arrogant or all that sort of stuff. I just looked at it differently. I looked at a guy who's basically at the end of his NFL career or athletic career who is trying to hang on to something, and his dad is having a hard time coming to terms with the inevitable end of his career. And I think Cam Newton had a much stronger grip on his future than his dad does. And I just thought that process was somewhat touching. And so I don't know. What do I think? I think there were things that impressed me and surprised me about the interview that had nothing to do with his abilities as a football player. His abilities as a football player are not good. His inaccuracy is obvious. He admitted that. You could see it in the preseason. And that, to me, ultimately, is why he's not going to be in the NFL. Somebody said the Ravens are going to sign him after week one because vet salaries are not guaranteed, and it might make sense in a team that inevitably is going to run the ball more than throw it. So I don't know. Maybe that happens.
You know, I thought that he sounded fine. I thought that he sounded likable. It was very manufactured. It was a very controlled environment. For him to come across poorly would have been a huge mistake. And honestly, I don't even know how you could come across poorly when you control the setting like that. It was a big mistake for him to do it. Despite the fact that he had some moments that he felt relatable, the whole thing was a look at me moment. And the whole thing was a reminder about why the Patriots had to move on from him. Because he is a distraction and he is a presence. And his entire act is one gigantic distraction. This video, this moment, is a reminder to all the teams out there that if you bring in Cam Newton, you're bringing in a dude with an aura that is going to be bigger than your starting quarterback. It was a big mistake for him, and honestly a sign that he just doesn't get it.
Well, I think he's getting ready for act two in his career.
Maybe.
Yeah, and I think that's what it was about.
If that's what it was, then okay. But yeah, That's not the way it was portrayed. It was portrayed as I'm still trying to play football and I need to set the record straight on what happened. Okay, I mean, if it's for act two, then fine.
Yeah, I thought I was looking at an audition for like NFL Network or some other sort of TV sort of deal and a big personality. And I'm a nice enough guy and I'm happy to accept a backup role. But man, I just got to be myself. That to me felt like a TV audition. Whether it's that,
the whole thing felt fake to me.
Well, I'll tell you this:
it didn't feel authentic.
They didn't skimp on production. Like, that thing was lighted well, shot right. Well. I mean, that was that was a slick production they had going on. That wasn't some dude holding up his iPhone or something and, you know, like a typical, you know, D-Mac at Broncos camp production. Bring it, Kevin. What the hell is Tom McMahon talking about?
Have you seen enough of KJ Hamler to put him back there as a returner?
Yeah, I think so. You know, KJ, Bryce, Spence as a punt returner. You know, we got some other good guys at kick returner. So you may see some surprises, to be honest with you, this weekend.
What is Tom McMahon talking about? What surprises could he possibly be talking about?
Well, we're not going to have any special teams mistakes, D-Mac. We're not going to be an abysmal hot mess out there. That's the surprise. That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, I don't know. What is the surprise? Naturally, that leaves me inclined to think that he's talking about who's returning the ball. That's what it feels like to me. So maybe the surprise is that KJ Hamler is going to be returning punts. I don't know. If that's the case, though, I would look at it and I would say, why is Deontay Spencer on this team? Why did you not keep Trinity Benson, a dude that absolutely earned a roster spot and could contribute at the wide receiver spot, for Deontay Spencer if you're not going to use him? So what is the surprise? Lord knows. I can't wait to find out. I'm just hoping it means that it's good special teams play.
The Broncos had basically a perfect preseason, except for some slip-ups on special teams. Do you think a special teams mistake will impact this game?
Oh, wow. Well, if there is a special teams mistake, it'll cost you the game. I'll tell you that much. You're not good enough to beat teams with special teams mistakes, especially when it's going to be a low-scoring affair, right? I'm not going to predict an egregious error.
Okay.
But I will say if there is one, it will cost you the game.
Bring it, Kevin. CU and A&M.
You just doubled up, you son of a gun.
Did I really?
You little son of a gun.
Yeah, oh, that was me.
You just don't want to give me the airtime?
My bad.
You don't want to play a team
you
ball
were talking.
Here?
You were talking.
Ball hog?
You were
Mike
talking.
Hog?
Go ahead.
Goodness.
Well, I tried again. Bring in Kevin.
That was good. That was good. I respect the hustle. You know, last night's game was awesome. I loved it. It was fantastic on so many levels. Two great teams that were going at it. Cowboys are better than I thought they were going to be. The one thing that concerned me from a fan's perspective was the amount of penalties that were called. There were so many penalties. There were 19 that were accepted. I don't even know how many there were total.
Mm-hmm.
Way over 20.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, part of the fun and part of the total points and part of the overall offensive success was the lack of penalties. Do you think that this is going to be a sign of things to come?
Oh, man, I hope not, because that could be really bad news for Garrett Bowles if that's the case.
Yeah.
No, I think what will happen in the first 2 weeks is you'll probably be a tad over-officious until the league and the referees send the tape around, they get evaluated and they get graded, and you know, they don't have training camp either, really. You know, they do actually. They do, don't they? They have preseason.
Yeah, they do.
And they're out at NFL practices. Actually, are they now? Actually, I don't think they are.
Well, they weren't last year for sure.
No, I actually don't think they are. They're not.
I don't know if they were this year or not.
I haven't seen them. I haven't been looking for them, but I don't recall. Maybe they haven't been. That's actually kind of interesting. The referees and officials might not have had the same amount of practice going into games as they have in the past, because usually they go around to teams' practices. Huh. Well, that's kind of interesting. Maybe we do see that in the first couple weeks. We do see a lot of flags because they're still kind of getting up to speed.
You know what? I think those guys are going to get a talking to. Everybody loved the points. Everybody loved the fireworks last year. This is one thing that the NFL has been missing that college football has, is just fireworks, right? We had that last year. Offensive production was up league-wide, and the lack of penalties was a huge part of it. So if the NFL is smart, they will give that crew a talking to, and they won't tell everybody else to do the same thing. They'll say to do the opposite.
Ring it, Kevin. My turn, right?
Your turn.
CU, A&M. Give me a homer pick. Give me a real pick.
Well, I know the spread's 17 on Superbook, okay? So if I was just talking in coffee terms, I actually like CU with the spread. I do. Texas A&M did not look great against Kent State. they took over the game, and if you just looked at the total score, you would think that they ran away with it. They did, but that's not the way it looked. CU kind of had a similar game against UNC. Do I think that the Buffs are going to beat Texas A&M? Oh man, probably not. I mean, I'm not going to go that homer. Rooting for them, pulling for them. I'll be there. Can't wait to watch it. It'll be a lot of fun. I like the spread, but probably not ready to beat a team like A&M.
Ring Kevin.
You know, we've talked a lot about the top teams in the league. You've talked a lot about Buffalo. Give me a dark horse Super Bowl team. Dark horse.
Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Not even that big of a dark horse, but I know that's not what you were thinking, so I'll stay with the Browns. They're expected to actually be really good, and they have kind of the ultimate situation. They really have built a pretty terrific team, and while they probably don't have a top five quarterback, they really might have a top 10 quarterback, but they have an exceptional amount of depth, and they have a much better overall philosophy. The Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
You?
I'm going to go with the Colts.
Yeah, you that's know, a good one.
They've been in win-now mode
that is
for
an underdog.
Years.
Yeah, that's dark
They went
horse.
Out and they got Phillip Rivers because they thought that they could win right now with Phillip Rivers last year, right? You don't go out and get Phillip Rivers unless you're in absolute win-now mode. The roster's good. They've got talent all over the place. And if Carson Wentz can even find half of his old form, that's going to be a dang good football team. So I'm going to go with the Colts. I'm a bigger Carson Wentz fan than a lot of people, and I think this dude's going to surprise some people and have a nice bounce back year.
Ring and Kevin, wrap it up. By the way, to give some college football love to everybody, Air Force at Navy. How about that one? That's tomorrow, 1:30. Good luck, Falcons. Colorado State, I got to say hi to my guy Keith. Ran into Keith at lunch today. He's a listener of the show, wearing his Deadhead t-shirt.
What up, Keith?
And his ponytail. Colorado State alum who said he's so proud to be a Colorado State alum, he's given up his season tickets recently.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Colorado State takes on an SEC school, sort of. Vanderbilt. So, boy, could that be ugly? What do we do? What are we thinking about that one?
Well, dude, they did just lose to South Dakota State, and I get it. I get it. South Dakota State's a good football team. I get it. Everybody wants to you notice how they always point that out, like on the text mm-hmm. line, like, guys, South Dakota State's so good.
Right.
No, they shouldn't be as good as CSU.
Right. Right.
Vandy, I don't know anything about Vandy, do you? I mean, I know that they're, unfortunately, kind of like the Colorado of the SEC.
I know they got a great baseball team.
Right. I've been to a baseball game there.
Really?
Yeah, my sister went to Vandy.
Oh, I know it's a great school.
Yep.
I know academically it's amazing. I know when you don't feel
what's the spread? Do you know anything about the game?
Oh, shoot. I don't know what the spread is. I have no clue. I just got the schedule here.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know anything about Vanderbilt. So.
Well, good luck to the Rams. Hopefully you guys can bounce back, right? And my Bears at Houston playing the Houston Baptist Huskies.
Wow. CSU's favored.
By 6.5. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Favored against an SEC school.
Well, they were favored against.
So Vanderbilt is hot garbage.
They were. So anyways.
I mean, are you kidding me? Vanderbilt must be terrible. Right.
South Dakota State. It's taking on Alabama. I don't know. The Bears are at Houston Baptist Huskies. I think Houston Baptist kind of stinks in everything. So, you know, go Bears. It's not Bishop Sycamore. Houston Baptist is a real place.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
You're positive?
I am positive.
Yeah. Good baseball team.
Actually, they're terrible. That's
good baseball team.
That's more or less my understanding of why they suck at everything.
I just thought that was the go-to.
No, but I mean, it is the go-to.
They got a baseball team.
They got a baseball team. You go there to beat them because they're not good.
Yeah.
I know that. Our guy Mike Kliss joins us now. Our 9 News Broncos insider, who's already there in Jersey, joins us now, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Mike. You have any flashbacks of Super Bowl 48 there in Jersey?
No, we've been here at least once since that Super Bowl, and that was when they rushed for like 300 yards. that the Jets did, and Robbie Anderson torched Bradley Roby. Yeah. Remember that?
I do, because the Rockies were in a playoff game that same day. I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, and then they were here last year. I wasn't because of the pandemic, but you know, it was Brett Rypien, 1-0 Brett Rypien against Sam Darnold. So they've exorcised a little bit of that, but it is hard not to at least think of Super Bowl 48 when you're here.
Mike, let's start with the injury updates. What are the expectations for the guys that have been banged up? Noah Fant, Bradley Chubb, et cetera.
Yeah, the only issue is Chubb. Fant is Fant's good to go. He's going to play. Chubb, I think I would put him on the probable side of questionable. You know, if it was on grass, it'd probably really be probable. But you know, that the turf is an issue when you got an ankle injury. And so, but I'm going to put Bradley Chubb at about, from the vibe I'm getting, like at about 60%, not 75%, which is the old probable definition, but about 60% he'll go.
What's your vibe on the Giants since you've been there for a little bit?
Yeah, I just got off. It takes a while to get here, by the way. And so I'm just now getting here. And but Barkley is the kind of the same way. He's maybe more 70% likely to play, from what I understand. Evan Engram, who has had big games against the Broncos. I remember Vance Joseph's year when they were 3-1 and they got torched by the Giants at home. At what is now Empower Field, he's not playing in the game. So, you know, that's a break for the Broncos. But otherwise, they should be good. You know, it's who's going to play better, Daniel Jones or Teddy Bridgewater on Sunday, the way I got it.
All right, Mike. Well, safe travels. Glad you're there. Glad you're reporting. We'll watch you on 9 News, and we'll see you when you get back.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Yeah, the Broncos are actually, I found out today there at Dove Valley, Tyler, they're actually staying in Jersey City, but they're not at the hotel they were at Super Bowl 48 with the porn boat that they did all the media at. That was weird.
Yeah, good decision.
They are actually staying in the hotel where the Seahawks stayed in Jersey City, which is like 2 miles down the road, which was a good hotel.
Mm.
Do you know the Broncos hotel at Super Bowl 48? Underneath the hotel was a subway stop to Manhattan.
Yeah, probably not the best idea in the entire world. Probably not a brilliant idea. No. You know, Mike Shanahan, he was funny, man. He was very superstitious. And if we would go on the road, if we would lose a game, we would never stay at that hotel again.
Is that right?
I don't care if it's funny. A divisional opponent. I don't care if we're going to Kansas City year after year, or if we were going to New York. We would find a new hotel if we lost the game.
For every reason you can think of, New York City was, of the 15 Super Bowl, and I probably 15 Super Bowls, 11 Super Bowl cities, because you get some repeaters in there like Miami and New Orleans. New York was by far the worst. Second worst was Dallas. Dallas got a little bit unlucky because they had this terrible ice snowstorm, but everything was
Minnesota's not up there?
No, Minnesota was fine because everything was contained.
Everybody I talked to who was in Minnesota said it was just brutal, like worst experience ever.
Everything was in the mall. It was easily
contained. Well, you're just
talking
about logistics.
Well, yeah. I mean, just everything. No. Yeah.
Minnesota experience? Dude, I didn't talk to anybody that went to Minnesota that said it was fun.
Oh, it was.
You were in a mall.
Well, who did you talk to that actually covered the teams, or are you talking to people who just like to party?
Wait, what?
There's a big difference.
No, I was talking to media members.
Well, yeah, but were those media members really covering the teams in the Super Bowl, or are they just out there?
Well, I am
to party?
Talking about the overall experience. Yes, like if you were a fan, like forget the media. If you were a fan, Minnesota has to be at the top of the list of worst ever experiences.
You could be right on that, unless you like going to the food court.
Right.
And it was freezing cold. New York was arguably worse. I'm not even lying. It was impossible to get around. It was freezing cold. It was actually more of a pain in the neck than Minnesota. Minnesota was actually, even though it was cold and awful, it was actually relatively easy to get from point A to point B.
At least there was like stuff to see and stuff to do in New York.
Yeah, listen, I'm not trying to say go to Minnesota again. Just get me right on that. No, that's a bad idea. Well, nobody cared in New York about the Super Bowl if you got a half a block away from Times Square.
Yeah.
They dressed up Times Square to make it look like the Super Bowl was exciting, and then you walk a half a block away and it's Tuesday.
Well, Wall Street was still going on, you know.
I get it, but you go to a city like Indianapolis.
Right.
I mean, it was awesome in Indy. It was great. That would be a fun Super Bowl city to go to as a fan because everything was there. But of course, like New Orleans, as far as I'm concerned, you could have the Super Bowl in New Orleans every single year for the fans, for the media, for everybody.
I don't know how you don't have it in Vegas every year moving
forward. Oh, well, sure.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
From now until forever, put it in Vegas.
It wasn't an option before. I'm all for it. Sounds good to me.
Right.
By the way, as a show, how do we not cover that game? What the heck is that game?
It is the day after Christmas.
Oh, is it really?
Trust me, I looked into it. I was like,
Let's
go. I'd love to see the Raiders Stadium. I'd love to go on that trip. Looked it up, day after Christmas.
How decadent can we be? That's a tough one this year. The day after.
I can't do that one. No, sir. I can't spend Christmas in Vegas. Yeah, Richie said.
But like, how long do you have to be with your family on Christmas Day? Like, at what point is it all right to say, I'll see you later? Like, what do you owe your family on Christmas Day?
You can't feel good about yourself if you're in Vegas on Christmas. You can't do that. Nope.
But I'm asking a serious question. At what time is the day done? Like, it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock? When is it over on Christmas?
Yeah, no, not in time to go to Vegas.
Tyler. There's always time to go to Vegas.
Not on Christmas, no.
And Cleveland. How are they going to shape up against the Giants? Let's dig back into the Giants. That's coming up next.
Hey, guys. Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big-time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Dude, I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped for football on Sunday, and I just couldn't believe how awesome it was to just kick back. And I do have HD TV in my house.
There you go. Good for you. Welcome to like 15 years ago,
yeah,
but okay.
Yeah. And just sit there and just watch the NFL, and what an amazing game, man. I mean,
dude, if you would just lose 7 coffees a week to me, you could buy yourself an HD TV, big screen, for your basement, and like, you know, they're not that they're like $300. They're like maybe 500 for a good one.
I got a wife issue though.
Man, I'm not saying that's nothing, but I mean, come on, you got a pretty good job,
dude. She does not want to walk down the stairs. She does not want to hang out in the...
Well, perfect. Then it's your TV. All the better. You know, set $300 aside. Don't let her even know about it. Just tell her you want it. Tell her you got a freebie at work or something.
What about spending time with your spouse?
Well, she doesn't want to watch the game anyways.
No, she loves watching the games.
I thought you told me previously that she's like walking around doing stuff. She's
during Broncos games.
Right.
No, but on night games, Monday night games, Thursday night games, Sunday night,
I think I would rather not watch a game at all than not watch it in high def. I mean, you are a special kind of weirdo.
Were you blown away with the pass attempts, with just the passing in general?
Well, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I guess I wasn't like overly surprised. Everybody seems so surprised by it. The biggest surprise is Zeke. You know, why the Dallas Cowboys are paying Ezekiel Elliott all that money to not utilize him. And
crazy.
He really wasn't utilized last year either. It was a pretty down year for him. That's the one that is a little bit surprising. But this is the trend of the NFL. And certainly when you've got Tom Brady out there, like, don't you want Tom Brady throwing the ball?
Yeah.
And you know what? Dak Prescott, to me, that's an elite quarterback. quarterback. I want him throwing the ball a lot as well. I would try to force feed Zeke a little bit more if I were the Cowboys. That's a mistake.
You know, you can tell, and I got to tip my cap to him. Leonard Fournette has absolutely worked way harder on his pass catching skills and is much, much, much better at it than he once was. He was so one-dimensional, but that gives them some crazy options.
How many carries did he have? 6, 7? I mean, seriously, not much.
Not much, but you know, out of the backfield, just being able to dump it down, and you know, we kind of have this crazy bet on the Broncos game here, this first down bet, or three and out bet. Because,
oh, right. Yeah, I mean, dumb bet on your bill. Like, stop making dumb bets, then you could buy an HGTV. I mean, why do you make these dumb bets?
Because I think Teddy Bridgewater, the one thing he does well is roll up short yardage. You get the ball at your 25, 30, whatever. For Teddy Bridgewater just to collect a couple of first downs, to me, is no big deal at all.
Well, just to clarify for anybody that isn't caught up to speed, the bet in particular is that the Broncos will go three and out more than three times, or three or more times. You took under three, I took over three, right?
Well, I mean, three, I win.
Right, so okay. No, three, it's a push.
Oh, come on.
That's why there has to
seriously?
Be
seriously?
What are you talking about? That's the way these things work.
Let's make it 3.5 then.
Fine.
All right, 3.5.
I mean, fine. Like that, I just gave it to you. Gave you better odds, but I feel fine about that.
I mean,
that.
You said I was going to get how many 3 and outs do you expect the Broncos to have?
More than three.
Well,
first game of the year, dude. Every team has 3 and outs in the first game of the year.
Yeah,
You've got an offense that is not very strong. You've got a defense for the Giants that is supposed to be spectacular. Absolutely, the Broncos are going to have more than three 3 and outs.
Yeah, but it's their secondary that's supposed to be spectacular. It's a defense I think Teddy will...
The defense is good, dude. The entire defense
I think
is good.
That
interior defensive line, Leonard Williams, those boys, they might be the best interior defensive line in the entire NFL.
Dude, dink and dunk, baby, for those first couple of first downs.
I love it. Let's win. I'm hoping for a Broncos victory. I'm predicting a Broncos victory. I just happen to know that they will have more than three 3 and outs.
It was funny talking to Tom.
Why did I give you that hook? That was a dumb play. Why did I do that?
I don't know.
I just gave you that.
Tom McMahon today said there could be some surprises on special teams for the Broncos.
Like what? What does that mean? What does that mean?
We're
running a double reverse on the first kickoff return.
I don't know. He was just talking about. I mean, it's a legitimate question. Like, are we going to see KJ Hamler? Like we saw CD Lamb. You know, field and punts for the Cowboys. It's not crazy that you use high-valued players to do that job.
I would use KJ in a heartbeat. If I were personally running the team, absolutely. But why in the world would Deontay Spencer make this football team unless they're using
it? I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Coffee bet.
On what?
That Deontay Spencer's taking all the returns?
No. They're kooky, man. I don't know what they're going to do, but McMahon's just, Hamler this and this guy.
Maybe Drew Locke is going to be on special teams.
Now that would be a surprise.
Maybe that's the wrinkle.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Personal protector on punt.
Oh my God, that would be fantastic.
You know, I mean, think about the fake field goal options we've got. He's the holder, you know? My gosh, how many fake field goals could we have this year?
Well, Tom McMahon said some surprises. I'm just like, man, we don't need any surprises on special teams. You know, just like good special teams.
Maybe his surprise is that we're going to play well.
He did point out something, too. He said that MetLife is at a 45-degree angle. It doesn't run just north and south or east and west. It's like a 40, which creates swirling winds.
Okay. I guess I played at MetLife many times.
Did you notice the 45-degree angle, the swirling winds?
It just looked like a straight line to me. So when I looked at the football field, it looked like we were going straight. Yeah.
I just love when special teams coaches can break down, like, you know, that sort of thing, when they talk about that sort of stuff.
I mean, I know we always talk about north and south, but stupid question here, I guess. Is every stadium literally on a north and south line?
He seemed to make it sound that way.
That's news to me. I know we talk north and south in terms, but I never realized it was in the most literal sense on the north and south line.
Our field runs north and south.
Pretty close. Is it literal? I doubt it.
I don't know the degree that it's basically north and south. And we have a big way to indicate it's north and south.
Right, like an entire front range.
Mountains. I'm not sure how they figure that out down in Foxborough, but it's easy for us. Well, I'll tell you who's got it all figured out. That's our guy, John Clayton. Johnny Clayton joins us coming up.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's sports station. 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I was joined by John Clayton, our fan's senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com. Joining us courtesy of Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. John, what did we see last night in terms of what we can expect for the rest of the NFL season, specifically 108 passing attempts and a passing glance at the running game?
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to see that. I mean, because, again, you have two quarterbacks that could throw the ball, and certainly Dak Prescott throwing 48 passes was incredible. But I have to think there's going to be more conventional type of running things that are going to be going on. Now, in the case of Tampa Bay, you know, they certainly shied away from the run after Ronald Jones had his fumble, and they benched him, and they had Leonard Fournette. And I have no idea what Mike McCarthy was doing passing the ball as much as he can. And Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, was calling pass after pass after pass. And when you think about it, you know, does that really work? Because you can see that Dak Prescott is really good, and, you know, certainly the numbers were incredible. But if you go in his last five starts, he's averaged about 52 passes a game, and he's 1-4.
Yeah. You know, John, last night it felt to me like there were a whole lot of penalties, and it felt different than last year, whereas last year it felt like there was an emphasis on allowing offenses to succeed. Now, I know at the end of the game a lot of people say there should have been an offensive pass interference there, but do you think that the game will be called differently this year than it was last year?
I don't know about this year, but I think maybe at the beginning of the season it's going to be called differently, because you think about the idea that you know, you had so few starters out there. And here they are, and particularly in a game like that where it was, you know, very hot and humid and all that stuff. I mean, the guys aren't used to going out there and playing four quarters and then being able to survive like that. And so you had to see, I guess, some different things. Now, again, an indoor stadium, that's not going to be as big of an issue. Maybe it's going to be okay in some of the cooler places. But I just have to get the feeling that, you know, when you have 591 players in the third week of the preseason not playing and not having gone through a game, it's like you wonder, it's like, okay, how are they going to last and play 60, 65 plays?
John Clayton, our fan senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com. John, any vibe on the Ravens and perhaps some conversations with trades with the Broncos?
Right now I think that, with Royce Freeman gone, that, I think they're not going to shorten the running back load because they got a deep room. And at this stage, I think you can see that there's enough veterans that can go out there and maybe help the Ravens. But when you're down your top three running backs with season-ending injuries, which is something I don't think I've ever seen.
Crazy.
You know, yeah, I know. You know, they got Murray as far as coming in there and trying to help out. I mean, Freeman is going to be there. They got Le'Veon Bell in the practice squad, and it's like, okay, but it's still not going to be good enough, particularly for a team that wants to run the ball more than any other team in football. I mean, these injuries are absolutely devastating. And then to make matters worse, they lose their best cornerback in Marcus Peters, and so they're in deep trouble. I mean, all of a sudden, the team that I thought was going to be maybe the fourth or fifth best team, and maybe even the third best team in the AFC, you know, now it may struggle to make the playoffs.
We're chatting with our Denver fan senior writer, John Clayton. John, Cam Newton remains unsigned. He released his Funky Friday YouTube series in which he told his story a little bit. I thought he presented himself well, but I'm curious from your point of view, do you think what he put out there, will that help or hurt his chances of landing on an NFL team?
I don't think it's going to hurt, but I don't think it's going to help either. You know, mainly because he comes back and says, well, I didn't lose the job. Well, yes, you did. You got cut. I mean, it's like, well, I didn't lose the job. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, then why are you on the street right now? And, you know, he brings up the story about the 5-day trip to get his Liz Frank injury checked out. But again, he broke protocol, and that didn't help. And I think that certainly played a little bit into the decision. And, of course, the big thing is he's just not the same player. He can't get the ball deep. I mean, he struggles with accuracy. Mac Jones came in there and cleaned him out and just took the job. And so, and he's saying, well, I think the big thing is that one of the reasons I was let go is that I might be considered a little bit of a distraction. Well, he gets along well with Mac Jones, and he gets along well with Bill Belichick and the rest of the players on the team. You know, where's that distraction part of it?
His aura.
Yeah, his aura. Yeah.
Well, it's that's like, what he said. It's,
yeah. Well, I mean, let's put it this way. His aura now has to fit in if he's going to get another job as a backup on some other team. So I don't know if that aura is going to cause a problem.
John, who do you got? Giants or the Broncos?
Oh, Broncos.
Really?
Oh, it's easy.
Wow, okay.
Why wouldn't I have the Broncos in this?
I don't know. You tell us.
Well, I mean, because doesn't it seem like your memories of last year, because here you have Daniel Jones in the same position as Drew Locke, needing to step up and show things, and he's going against the best secondary in the National Football League, and so is he going to be able to succeed passing the football? He doesn't have the complete running game right now with Saquon Barkley, because Barkley, he'll play, but I don't know how effective he's going to be coming off the ACL injury. And so one thing, though, the Giants do have, they have a good defensive line. And so their defense is actually okay. But again, it's like I just get the feeling that, are they going to be good enough to stop the three receiver set? Are they going to be good enough to stop the run? I think they'll be good enough to stop the run. But, I mean, let's put it this way. If they can't beat the Giants, they're in trouble.
Okay. Appreciate it. John, have a great NFL weekend, and we love having you on. We read you at DenverFan.com. Thank you, John.
Okay, thanks.
There's our guy, John Clayton, courtesy of Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Why'd your voice crack when you said that?
I like my read on that.
Why'd your voice crack? That was just an interesting time to have the voice crack.
Scenic views. Well, here we are, NFL. I'm excited, man. Like, last night was a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
Because the game was so
awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
That it makes you feel like every NFL game should be like that.
Dude.
But I hope. I mean, we'll see. But.
I mean, I couldn't have been any more entertained than I was by that game last night.
It was awesome.
Number one, having Tom Brady go out there, and he looked a little bit rusty at the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. Knocked that rust off. He started to look tremendous. Gronk. I mean, Gronk, I feel like, wow, are we about to have a major resurgence? Like, last year, was Gronk just too rusty? Was he just been out of football, hadn't been staying in shape, slowly but surely? But now this year, maybe he's going to come back to his old form. He sure as heck looked fantastic last night. And then Dak Prescott, man. I mean, I've been telling you for a long time, I'm a huge Dak fan. I think that guy is an elite quarterback. There's been a lot of question marks regarding his health. Cowboys looked a whole lot better than I thought that they were going to, so I give them credit for that. But overall, I mean, what an entertaining football game.
Yeah, it was great.
And, just happy to have football back. But, I mean, to start the season off like that, you're right. High expectations moving forward.
All right, King Super's Fan Football Pick'em is alive and well at DenverFan.com. Play along. Let's have some fun with it. And we'll be back on, I'll be back on Sunday. You'll actually be part of the pregame show, too.
I'll give you my minute. Yeah, I'll give you my full minute.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And it's me and Mike Evans for like the 10th year in a row on Sundays.
Yeah, where you guys are like, oh, we're best friends. We
I know.
Talk trash about one another.
This is where we fake it to the largest extent possible. Yeah. Go Orange. But that happens on Sunday. We'll be on at noon. But we're covering the NFL and the Broncos game from the time you wake up till the time you go to bed. And then back at it on Monday. Nick and Cecil up next. On Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.